With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's Metal Shop here on The Rock, and I'm actually talking with Jarvis Leatherby from Cirith Ungol. Bass guitarist for the band Forever Black is coming out on Metal Blade Records. And if I'm correct, this is the first full-length album by Cirith since 1991. Is that right?
That's correct.
Dude, that's huge, man. It's coming out April 24th. But before we get to the band and everything, man, we're living through a crazy time right now. How are you doing, like, personally? How are you doing? How are you staying busy? How are you staying sane, staying occupied, staying safe? How's it going?
Well, I mean, I've got a lot of interviews and stuff like this happening.
Yeah.
So, no, like, everybody seems to kind of be in the same boat. So we've had, you know, I also play and I also front the band Night Demon. So we were actually going out on tour. Yeah, we've had like almost 80 shows canceled. So, but hey, you know what? That's fine. We've got music coming out, and like, this is good. It's still a good time for us. I mean, we're still rolling on with everything. And, you know, it's a much needed break, you know? I mean, we tend to look at the brighter side of things. Mm-hmm. Things aren't, you know, we're not big into news media and all this stuff. And, you know, I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, the world is definitely changing, but, you know, we feel pretty positive about everything. You know, everybody, I go out, everybody seems to be pretty nice to each other. Everybody seems mm-hmm. to be pretty understanding, you know? This is just one of those times where
I dig that, man, and it's also like kind of this necessity is breeding some creativity. I'm seeing lots of artists do empty arena shows or like live streams and just being creative, and it's really kind of inspirational.
It is, and you know what? That's what people need, though. They're going to need to tap into that creativity because, like I said, the world is different. There's a lot of things that are going to happen after this. Like a lot of the industry is going to change as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's in order to survive, you have to use your creativity. You know, in times like this, you know.
And what we need is like new like metal to like lift our spirits and stuff. And that's
always necessary, right?
Yeah. And you guys are going to be releasing an album like right in the middle, right in the thick of all of this. And it's a crazy time, I'm sure, to be releasing an album.
The crazy thing about it is it's not like, you know, I don't know if it's some weird premonition, but like, you know, the title and the artwork from Michael Whalen on this album is like,
yeah,
it's very post-apocalyptic,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're rolling these singles out and people are like going, hey, this is pretty accurate to what's happening right
this
now.
It's pretty relevant. You know? Like,
it's just crazy, man. You know, it's a perfect storm, you know.
For it
29
to,
years, you know?
Right? For it to be 29 years, and then it just so happens to drop on the, in the middle of all this, and it's certainly going to be something that, like, I'm you know, looking forward to, you know, new albums that come out. Like, I was really stoked that the New Testament record came out today. I'm like, yes, something to lift my spirits, get me out of the feedback loop of bad news, just something to rejoice about, and it's something to look forward to, the new Cirith. So,
yeah, that's awesome, man.
For you personally, what is one album, like if you're feeling bummed out or if you had a bad day at work or you're just like kind of down in the dumps or you're hearing some bad news, what's one album that you can put on that will just lift your spirits and get you out of that?
Ooh, probably the first Boston album, the self-titled album.
Okay. Nice.
Like More Than a Feeling is like the first track, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, all right, you know? But that song's kind of played out, you know? I mean, you hear that a lot on the radio now, but there's a lot of good songs on that album, actually. But that song always, that album always made me feel good. You know, I don't, it's kind of, that's I'm going to stick with that answer because I was trying to think of a bunch more records that I love that I would just put on at any time, but they're not really like feel good albums.
Sure.
So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with the classic there.
Boston. Yep. Right on, man. Well, let's talk a little bit about the new record. You've been releasing some rad singles. We've been playing that on Metal Shop. How long were you guys working on the new album? You know, I'm assuming you guys...
29 years.
Yeah, 29 years. You guys were in studio for 29 years.
You know, I tour with Night Demon probably 7 months out of the year, so...
That's awesome.
I have, like, a couple subs. I also manage Sirith Ungol, so...
That's awesome.
I have a couple subs, like bass players, that fill in for me while I'm gone.
Okay.
You know? So, like, if one guy can't make it to rehearse with them, the other guy can, you know? So I like to keep the band rehearsing 2 to 3 times a week in my absence. So, you know, within that time, they would just... They would write songs and then kind of send them out to me. And then I would, when I would come home between tours, we would work on them a little bit.
Yeah.
But I kind of tried to let the, you know, the original guys write the tunes, you know? So, like, I'm kind of like the editor, like the final stop.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because old guys tend to try and be current. It happens all the time. And that's where they go wrong, you know? Because even if the fans are younger and they're like from a new generation, they still want the band to be authentic, you know, and who they are when they're in their 60s, you know? So, like...
You want that classic series,
Yeah. And as a fan, I can appreciate that. So, I carried that over into my job, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, my role is to protect the legacy of the band. Like, we don't need to do anything, you know? So, like, we're not going to do something just to do it. That opportunity has popped up so many times, and I've had to, you know, kind of explain to everybody, like, why it's not worth doing, you know? So it's like, we're not going to make a record after 30 years if it's not something that's good. So I thought they did a really good job of you know, fleshing out the meat of the songs, and lyrically it's really good and it's inspiring, you know? So, I'm happy with the results. I mean, of course there were some things along the way, you know, that I had to fight with and make myself win, you know?
Yeah.
but that's how it always is with those guys, man. You know, they'll tell me I'm ruining the album, you know? And then a review will come out giving it like a 10 out of 10. And they'll say, see, told you we were back, you know, like, okay.
You're like, yeah. Cause I helped that.
Exactly.
So that's, I like the way you put that though, that you're kind of like protecting the legacy of Sirith. That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's already set. So you don't want to do anything to tarnish it. And so many bands do that, especially when they reunite, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
All it takes is one horrible album cover that looks like it was done on MS Paint and it's got fake flames and stuff like that. All it takes is that just once, you know, to be like, oh, okay, you know, like,
I know exactly what you're talking about. Not mentioning any bands or anything, but I totally know exactly what you're saying. In case you're just tuning in, we're talking with Jarvis. He's also a Night Demon, but Sirith Ungol is coming out with Forever Black on Metal Blade Records April 24th, first album since 1991. But let's go back, Jarvis, to 2016 when you joined Sirith Ungol. I'm assuming you'd probably been a huge fan of the band before that, right?
I actually wasn't. I actually thought that they sucked really bad for a long time, you know? The thing is like, we're from the same town.
Okay.
So, which is Ventura, California. So we live on the beach. It's about an hour north of L.A. So, you know, there was never any, like, we've got a really rich history here of hardcore punk and skate punk and 80s hardcore and stuff. But no heavy metal band ever came out of this area, except for them. You know, like, they were the only one that I guess was on a worldwide scale that you know, an international band.
Yeah.
Although the Serotonin they never did tour, you know? Mm-hmm. So there was that aspect too. But, you know, their records were distributed worldwide and
of course,
by major distributors and stuff, you know? So like, you know, I'm a like whole generation or generation and a half younger than these guys. You know, these guys are like my parents' age, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, or older.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, you know, when I was younger, I would find that, like, you would always find a copy of Frost and Fire, like, original vinyl, like, in every dollar bin at every record store around here, or, like, in the thrift stores, you know? Mm-hmm. Now it's, like, $80 for one of those, you know, $100
yeah.
something, you know? But anyway, so, yeah, you know, I picked it up. Obviously, and you know, the artwork was killer. So,
yeah.
But you know, when I was like 11, 12 years old, like I wanted my metal to sound like the Black Album had just come out,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, you know, when you're a young kid and you're getting started in music and stuff, like, and you hear something like that, it's like really powerful, you know? So, and then you hear Serotonin and you're like, oh my God, like the production is terrible. Like the drummer's out of time, the vocals, like what is going on here? You know? Like, so no, I didn't like it for a really long time, but I got to know them. And you know, the deeper I got into metal as I grew older,
yeah.
the deeper I got into the history and I started, you know, my taste started to change a bit, you know, but, you know, I don't know. We're kind of just like, I like to call them, they're like my older little brothers.
Nice. You know?
So, but you know, now there's such a deep connection and I have such a vast knowledge of the music, you know, and I'm mm-hmm. the keeper of the archives and all this stuff, you know? So it's like, it's totally come full circle, but yeah, that's the truth. I'm not going to pretend and say that like,
yeah, sugarcoat, you know, yeah.
I'm playing with my idols. It's like, no, man, it's hard work wrangling these knuckleheads, you know?
So how'd you get the call to join the band, dude? Obviously,
well, I mean,
19.
Basically,
yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, what happened was I tried to reform the band for years.
Oh wow.
And,
okay.
And they never wanted to. So like some of these guys hadn't talked to each other in decades,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I put on an event called Frost and Fire Festival here.
Oh, appropriate title. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And I asked them if they wanted to come and sign autographs for some fans. Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, sure. That'd be cool. So everybody showed up, past members, even members that aren't playing with the band right now.
Yeah.
Like everybody was there. They hadn't seen each other in a long time and they were really surprised by how many people flew out from all over the world just to meet these guys.
That's
not
so
even
cool.
See them play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of like, that kind of showed them that there was some interest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So from there, basically Rob, the drummer, we started asking him to come and jam with Night Demon playing Serotonin songs.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So he started to get his feet wet on the drums again. Then I would call one of the other guitar players. Hey, man, what do you think? You want to come out and jam? No strings attached. Just come out and play a couple old songs. You know?
Just easing
oh, yeah,
into
that
it. Yeah.
Cool. And then it kind of built up like that. We go one at a time. Mm-hmm. One of my guys would leave when one of the OGs would come back. So Mike Flint, the original bass player, lives in Las Vegas, and he just could never get it together.
Yeah.
You know? So I just ended up staying, and I mean, like since I have to pretty much be around them anyway all the time, like
mm-hmm.
it makes sense for me. And like on stage, you know, I am the bass player, but I'm also like directing traffic.
Nice.
I feel comfortable on the stage because I have a reason to be there because I'm playing in the band, right?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I would just be the manager running around on stage like, no, like this, like if your solo is coming up here, you know, like or like you know, like I'm directing traffic on stage and it works well, you know.
Dude. You from inception, like you create this festival named after one of their albums. Your objective is to get them to reform. They don't agree, and then one by one, you just work them, and you get it. And fine. And now you're in the band, and you're their manager. And it's like, dude, you reformed Serotonin, but like the way it should be. That's awesome.
Thank you, man. That's funny. I never really thought about it in that sequence of events, but you pretty much summed it up like, yeah, that's pretty cool. I guess I did subconsciously
you
make
willed,
all that happen.
You willed this into reality.
I guess that's why I'm the highest paid member of the band.
Hey, there you go.
No, man, it's a lot of work, but it's a labor of love, man. And I feel really, it's honestly one of the proudest accomplishments of my life. A lot of people tried to reunite this band for a lot of years, you know? And they tried to bait them with money and all this stuff, and it just never happened. So I was grateful enough that they saw the things that I was doing with Night Demon, and they said, well, that's kind of the things that we always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And at that point I said, okay, well, there's an opportunity for it now for mm-hmm. redemption, you know? So
yep.
the rest is history, as we say, but you know, the goal was never to, I mean, when they told me they wanted to do another record, I was like, I put that off for a good year or two.
You're like, oh, you know? Maybe down the road, guys.
No, this story doesn't end well, you know? I'm like, maybe if I put it off for another year or two, like somebody will die.
Oh my God.
Or the band will break up, or like it'll run its course.
Yeah.
And then the legacy will stay intact.
Yeah, delay.
Yeah, you don't have to have a terrible album out, like the cup, you know, that's like the misstep, you know?
Yeah.
So we did a live album, I'm Alive, that came out last year. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would buy us some time too. It's like, okay, here's the official reunion. There's like great shows on here, double LP. And like, there you go. You know, the band reunited. That's the story. And they sounded great. You know? Yeah. But, you know, new songs. Hey, man, you know, when you haven't written a song in 30 years, you know, it's like a muscle. It's not like riding a bike. So,
totally.
but they did well with it. So we, you know, here we are.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that's my initial thoughts. like, what traditionally happens when bands reunite like this and do a new record? It's usually not very good at all, you know?
Well, so, I'm glad that
we got lucky.
I'm glad that you're there for like the quality control, man.
That's exactly how I see it. Thank you. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about like what kind of inspired you to start playing metal and playing bass and stuff. Going back, what was there a concert or an experience with metal that kind of changed your life and made you like fall head over heels into it?
Yeah, there's this. I went to this. My parents took me to this when I was pretty young, to this free concert in the park somewhere in LA, some park in LA that mm-hmm. KLOS, the radio station, was putting on.
Nice.
And it was like Stephen Stills was playing.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, this guy sucks. And on the way out, leaving the park, somebody handed me a flyer and it had all this satanic stuff on it.
Sweet.
And like a big old picture of Ozzy. And I was like, man, I kind of heard about him, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like, anyway, I kept that flyer and they, like, I hid it from my parents, and like apparently it was a Christian flyer like against the evils
of Satanists.
But it didn't look like that at all, you know, on the cover. It like really attracted me when it was, you know, it was supposed to scare me or whatever, but it didn't.
That was the anyway, most counterproductive so, Christian flyer ever.
Yeah, exactly. So a combination of that, and there was a movie called Hell's Bells. It was about like the same thing. It was like a Christian movie about the evils of rock and roll, and
mm-hmm.
they mask Stairway and all this stuff, you know, like, so that got me into a lot of bands.
That's
like,
funny.
And so, you know, that's what, that got me into it. And then I would, you know, like my dad grew up like around rock and roll and stuff too. And my parents were like, they're pretty cool. Like, but sometimes my mom would like check the stuff that I listened to, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, but with like, you know, I would like show her like Ozzy stuff, you know, I'm like 13 years old, you know, mm-hmm. like, listen, mom, like this guy knows what's up. Like he's talking about like astral projection, nuclear war,
mm-hmm.
like all this stuff, love, then come to find out, you know, like decades later, like the guy couldn't even formulate a sentence, you know, like he didn't write any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
like, oh, but at the time that was like really inspiring.
Yep.
To me, you know? So yeah, that's pretty much how it started. Metalhead's journey, you know?
Dude, that's awesome. And then, man, that's a great start, dude. Like the counterproductive Christian literature that gets you actually super into it.
Dude, it got me hooked immediately.
That's hilarious.
Immediately. Yeah.
I just have like a couple more questions for you, and I was wondering, what are four albums that have changed your life in a positive way?
Ooh, man. I would say the first Angel Witch album. It's just a self-titled album. Self-titled is Angel Witch from the album Angel Witch and the first song Angel Witch.
Yep.
An Angel Witch.
Yeah, yeah. No, that whole record is great. That's one of those older ones that I still listen to a lot.
Yeah.
Master of Puppets, for sure. I still go to that. Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, I know these are probably the most popular ones.
Yeah.
But, like, I think they're the best. They're the reason why they're the most popular.
Sure.
Ones, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then the fourth one, it's hard, you know, always when you come down to the end, it's like, oh man, now it's hard to choose, you know, when you have a long list.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, probably would have to be Kiss Alive.
Nice.
I love live records, you know? Oh man. But now I want to pick another. Maybe Judas Priest, Unleash in the East.
Nice.
I love that album.
Five is a good number, too. So
it's great. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's five records that change your life. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, five. That's a good number, yeah.
There we go. Jarvis, so I know this. Our interview was originally, you know, we're talking about Cirith Ungol and the release of the first new album in 29 years. But I do have to ask, what's going on with Night Demon here in 2020? I mean, obviously, everything's kind of on hold right now. But what are we looking forward to?
Well, it's interesting that you asked. We released a single today.
Nice.
Called Empire's Fall. It's our first release in 3 years.
So killer.
We put out a 7-inch today as well.
Okay. So, awesome.
We didn't want to do any kind of announcement or lead up. We were just kind of just dropping it on the public with the physical ready and in print and like. You know, I mean, there's so many pre-orders these days, and like, you forget that you ordered something and then it shows up. You're like,
know,
it's like we live in an instant grat society now. So I'm trying to do my best to just be a little more patient.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have something, it's that then you can have it like right away.
Drop it on them. Yep.
Exactly. So, you know, like there's enough hype out there with so many other things, you know, so it's a, you know, I don't know, man. We always plan ahead.
Yeah.
You know? So we still have stuff booked through the end of the year. We have stuff booked in 2021. So basically with this whole thing, it's like we're just waiting to see every day what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like is it, how much farther back does this thing get pushed? That kind of stuff. But we have stuff lined up and we are lining stuff up. So we're pretty much safe from the whole reschedule debacle because some people are going to be in a bad situation where they're going to have to, a lot of this stuff is never going to be rescheduled. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we might not even have an NBA champion. Come on, man. You know?
I know. Right.
Like, yeah. Right. So, and this was a good year. This was, I don't know, man, I'm a Lakers guy. So this is going to be a good, good story this year.
Right after Kobe, you know? Yeah,
exactly. You know, and LeBron was all pumped. Like, you know, I thought this would be a good year, good story, good year for them to do something cool like that. But hey, here we go. You know, this is live. So look at, I'm glad I've got Night Demon putting out music. I've got Cirith Ungol putting out music. There's more from Night Demon to come too. So,
nice.
I mean, it's just strange. It's gotten busier than ever for us. So, we're spending a lot of time together, both of the bands, you know?
Yeah.
And we're fine. Everybody's healthy and
good.
And, you know, it's just, I don't know what to believe anymore about any of this. I just don't. So I've just been tuning out and trying to, I guess, do the responsible thing, which is, you know, kind of isolate yourself as much as possible, I guess.
I do have one final question for you, though. We like to ask pretty much every band that we talk to, and I feel like you might have a good story for this with the amount of touring and you know, partying you probably do with Night Demon and whatnot. Pick a scar on your body and tell us a story of how you got that scar.
Oh man, that's interesting. Let me think of one here.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. My left ear. I have a pretty big scar.
Okay.
Especially on the back side of it, my earlobe. Yeah, I got into a fight with some guys outside of a show.
Uh-oh.
They were like beating on some other guy, mm-hmm. and like some smaller dude, and you know, they looked like they had some racist tendencies about them.
Ah, yes.
And so I got involved, which was like, I don't know. I always carry a knife on me, but I never use it.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
And then later on, I'm like, why didn't I just poke that guy? Because this wouldn't happen. So basically, I pulled this guy off another guy, and then I got on top of him, and I was like kind of wailing on him.
Mm-hmm.
His buddy came up behind me and grabbed me by like my ear, and I had my ears. I had earrings at the time. And,
oh, no.
Pulled it out, yeah, and like...
Oh.
My earlobe was just dangling, man. And he threw it in my face, dude. It hit me in the face. And it was just such like, I got burned so bad, dude. I was like, no. So for me, the fight was over. And then I had to like drive to the hospital and like get my ear stitched back up. I've got some other ones. I've got some knife wounds and stuff, but like that's for another time.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Bonus.
Absolutely, dude.
All right, yeah, I got to hop on another call.
Yeah, no problem, dude.
Dude, thank you so much, man. I'm thanks for the coverage. I hope you guys are doing good up there. We can't wait to come back. So
hell yeah,
I'm sure it'll happen. Things will blow over, man, you know?
Jarvis Leatherby, Sirith Ungle, Forever Black, coming out April 24th. Thanks a lot, Jarvis.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time.
Yep, take it easy, bro.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.